Everybody has your handout. We're talking tonight in our lesson on the doctrines of the Bible. We're in the doctrine of man, anthropology as it's called, and we're thinking tonight specifically about the makeup, the composition of man. And as you know, physically, we are very complicated. If you know anything about anatomy, and you know anything about physiology and how all that works, and I think most of us do. In fact, it's been my contention for so long, and please don't misunderstand this comment, but I think it's safe to say that in most churches, membership, I'm talking about generally speaking, my experience at least as a pastor, and I say this not in a condemning way, I say this in a concerned way. I think majority of members, generally speaking, again I'll say, are more familiar with medical terminology and anatomy and that sort of thing, and drugs and medicines and procedures and all of that that's involved, more familiar with that kind of terminology than theological terms, biblical terms. And I think that's a deficiency. Not that we shouldn't know medical terms, and, you know, that's fine. That's just, you know, good knowledge to have, but just saying. And so we are thinking about anthropology. That's a good theological term, isn't it? The doctrine of man. You hear about the study of anthropology, but a lot of that that they teach in secular universities would be like humanistic anthropology, secular anthropology. In other words, what can we say, humanly speaking, about man and how he lives, different cultures, that kind of thing, apart from what the Bible says? Well, I want to know what the Bible says about man, don't you? And so that's what we're studying. Central truth in question and answer form is this: what's man composed of or made of? God made man with both a physical body and an immaterial soul or non-physical soul. So there's a part of us we can touch and see, and then there's a part of us that we can't see. And I'm not talking about internal organs. Those can be seen. I don't think any of us cares to see them. But, you know, they're there. But I'm talking about things we can't see, like the mind, the ability to think, reason, imagine, conscience, heart, when the Bible speaks of the heart. And by the way, when the Bible speaks of the heart, there may be a small, very small percentage. I think it's, you could probably count them on one hand. And I should have looked this up, and I will look this up. And if you look it up before I do and you want to text me, that'd be great. There are a few references in the Bible about heart, meaning the physical organ. But most of the time, vast majority, it's referring to the internal capacity. It sums up all of that we mentioned. The thinking, the reasoning, the feeling, it's the seat of emotion. It is where we make decisions, where we choose. All of that is referred to as the heart. And in that sense, you can't see that, can you? You can't see. There's no way a surgeon can examine us internally and find the conscience. And yet it's real, isn't it? That's a part of our makeup. So we're going to dive in here. And we've already read the verses. And you see that one of those verses, especially the second one, 1 Thessalonians, mentions three aspects or three components of our makeup: spirit, soul, and body. And I won't digress here, but I'll just mention this so you'll know, and you may want to search it out. I did that on occasion. I couldn't get my hands on the notes that I made many years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago. It was before we came here, so it had to be 26 years ago. And I did a study of the books that I had could put my hands on in my study, and came up with a pretty good list of those scholars who say that we are tripartite, that is, we have three parts, body, soul, and spirit, and they'll look to verses like this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 mentions three things, doesn't it? Body, soul, and spirit. And then a separate list, and that's the bipartite people. Their view is we just have the two, which already you see where we're headed. I believe that is the correct view myself. And notwithstanding the verse that we have, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that mentions the three, but I think here's what you'll find, at least I have found this, is that in some scriptures where it speaks of body and soul, that's bipartite, other verses speak of body and soul. Body and soul, body and spirit. So it seems that soul and spirit can more or less be interchangeable. And that refers to the inner part of man that we cannot see. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But I thought that might just spur you to search it out a little bit more. The outline, we all know that we have a body. And the body is very important. But the body should be seen in the proper light. And we can never say that the body is more important than the soul, can we? And yet, just think about this. Again, we're not going to run a rabbit, but you could run one here. And that is, our culture as a whole puts a premium on the body and not the spirit or the soul, correct? We're all about primping and, you know, grooming and weight loss and, you know, all that. So you understand. Genesis 2:7 says God personally created Adam, but it was not like he created everything else. Not only was it personal involvement, but he formed man, as the note says, out of the dust of the ground. Not only does the note say it, the scripture says it. You see, back up in Genesis 2:7, there's the word. And the Lord God formed man. So that's different. Everything else God made, he spoke it, didn't he? It was done. But here you have a more direct involvement. Still God's creation. No less or no more God's creation, but a way of describing it that God wants us to know we're special. God created us uniquely in the way that he did it. Took dust and then breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now here's how the formation of the baby inside the mother is. A wonderful scripture, Psalm 139, 13 through 16. That's the Psalm of David. For thou hast possessed my reins. Reins has to do with the inner part, the inward part, physical part. Sometimes it can literally be translated kidneys. And again, that's a literal translation, but the idea is more than just an organ we know as kidneys. It's the innermost being. So thou hast possessed my innermost working, the most, the part only God can see, let me put it that way, physically. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. And what a phrase, for it says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that beautiful? Fearfully, awesomely, in an awesome way, and a wonderful way. So it should cause us to just take note and ponder how God has made us all. I think we might do that more when we see a little baby than we do when we think about ourselves or an adult. I don't know, that could be true. Maybe it's not true. I know whenever we see something to do with anatomy or some reference made to the complexity of the body, we ought to think of that verse, shouldn't we? Fearfully and wonderfully made. And then added to the physical is what we mentioned before, the non-physical, the immaterial, invisible part of our being. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now that's not referring to some deep dark cave somewhere. That is a figurative way to refer to a mother's womb. You say, well, that's disgusting. That's not very honoring. That's the way God chose to describe that. It's just, you know, this is where God has done it. God has formed us inside our mother's womb. That is His place of choosing. And so you would think, knowing that, we would be humble by that. Just the expression itself. And yet, there is a sublime aspect to child development, childbirth, all of that. So God had His way of choosing to do it, and that's the way He does it. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. That's the second time that's been referred to. The line right above it. My substance was not hid from thee. Here it is again. Thine eyes did see my substance. That's just stated a different way, isn't it? Yet being unperfect. That is, it was still in the process of formation. But God saw every single second, every single stage of development. And we've all seen that in some form, I trust. We've seen that in a poster form with multiple pictures, time-lapse photography, or better yet, videos that show different parts of the process. It's amazing. God sees it all. And not only does He see it, He's forming us. He's doing that, making those changes and the production all along the process. He oversees it. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I've heard that described as like God has a blueprint for each of us. The book. In His book, all our members were written. And you know, modern science, I don't know exactly when this came about. I can't recall from my science days studying that, the DNA and all of that, the structure that we each have, and all of that is unique to every individual, isn't it? You know that. Without even studying in detail, we know that much. Well, that's the idea here. God has a blueprint, a template that's unique to us. We're not mass-produced. There are identical twins, of course, we understand that, but still there are distinctions. And so God mapped it out. God planned it all, and then He oversaw the whole process. My goodness, this would require several weeks probably to get through in detail. And this is not really that much of a detailed study. It's more of a suggestive study. Let me read this next paragraph, and then we'll wrap it up here in just a matter of moments. This text describes how God forms the body when still growing inside the mother's womb. God does this for all babies as they grow and develop inside their mothers. So we can all say, God made me. We teach the children that, don't we, in one way or another. God made you. Say it with mommy. God made me. God made me. Or you do it in devotional time. They do it in Sunday school time. They do it in adventure club. They probably did that tonight. That's a way that children can relate. But that's a good reminder for adults. God made me. And yet, a lot of people go through life, don't they, not satisfied with how they look, their height, their hair color. They're not like that or that or that. That's the way the world wants us to think. But we should never think that way. We should say, God made me exactly like He wanted to make me. And I am grateful for that. I'm just grateful He made me. Amen to that. God creates the human body with all the parts that make us look and function as we do. I'll never think about anatomy the same as I did when I was out at Bristol Regional Medical Center. It's been years ago. I'm going to say probably 15 at least, but I'm not forgotten and never will. I'll carry this memory to my grave, I believe, in my right mind. They had a book show for doctors and medical personnel out there, as they do from time to time. I guess they still do, down near the cafeteria. And just being a book lover as I am, I thought I'd browse. I wasn't in the buying mood for what they had, very technical works and things that would interest the medical people. But one set of books caught my eye. It was a 2-volume set of books, about that thick, each one of them, about that high. And I got to looking inside, and you know what those 2 volumes were all about? Lots of diagrams, detailed anatomical diagrams, descriptions of the pictures, 2 sizable volumes on the hand. And I thought, man, I didn't know there was that much in a hand. Yeah. If you get a chance, look at something, the anatomy of the hand. You probably pull that up on Google. It is absolutely stunning, amazing. So, God made the hand. What caught my attention there, I wasn't going to use that and say that, but He made us to look like we look and function as we do. If you've ever had a hand injury where you can't use it like you normally do, you realize just how you can grip strongly, you can pick up gently, you can point, you know, all kinds of things you can do. You can play. God bless Miss Nancy's fingers. God bless hands over here playing like that. My. Well, thanks for sharing that. Thank you, Miss Nancy, for sharing that. We're going to have to stop right there. There's more. You've got the handout. There's some good verses there on the back side of your page. Additional scriptures. And they all have something to say about this topic. So let's pray. And then, Matt, if you'll come and lead us in a song. Father, thank You so much for reminding us in these brief moments we've had from Your Word as to how You have made us all. We know how You made Adam, and we know that is a one-of-a-kind creation, as You made him from the dust, and that was unique, of course. And we're all made a little differently because of the process You set in motion ever since that time. But yet, Lord, we are formed by You, and You have made us so complex and so wonderful, fearfully and wonderfully made, we truly are. So help us, Lord, to never take that for granted. Forgive us for the times we do take it for granted. And help us, Lord, as we live from day to day, to be grateful for all the parts, the moving parts, the working parts, the eyes that we see with, the teeth we have to chew with, the feet we can walk on, and just on and on. We should think often about how we're put together, and then the invisible side of things, how we have all of these capacities within us, and best of all is the spirit and soul to know You and to be saved and to be with You forever. You made us that way, so we might, at the appropriate time, we would believe and repent and then come into Your family, be born again, as the Bible says. How wonderful how You've created us all and then recreated us. through the new birth. So let us never forget that or overlook it, and bless the message tonight from the Word to our hearts. Bless us now as we sing our final song, and then say so long for tonight. We pray in Christ's name.